Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, March 6th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today's show. Today is Wednesday. That means it's a mashup Wednesday, man down Wednesday, when we analyze the news, we talk what is trending on social media, and we give commentary. But on this day, Mashup Wednesday, we're also going to have a, what are we going to have? What's in the news day where you can call in? But like, whatever you want to talk about, you can actually call in and we'll entertain you a little bit and give commentary on it. Today, we have Ian Munnings. He's finally joining us, who is a regular on our Man Down Mashup Wednesday. And Erin's walking down her guest, so she's on her way back up, and she has a list of things that she wants to talk about. But I have one or two things I need to get off my chest. And one or two things that Erin said, man, I want to be here when you talk about it. And I said, no, Erin, I got to start. That's you and you walking down. But this is what I want to get off my chest, first of all. A number of you know that I grow peppers. No, I grow peppers, and I also make a special pepper sauce. I think it's the best in the Bahamas. I think it's that good, right? I went to the exchange for weeks. I asked, hey, man, you don't have any peppers? No, we don't have any peppers. So no problem. I asked around, so what happened? Is there a pepper shortage? He said, no, man, all kind of peppers are coming from the farm. So but I asked, how come there's none at the produce exchange? I need peppers to do my pepper sauce. The lady at the exchange told me that the Haitians have the peppers on lock. I have no problem with the Haitians having the peppers on lock. You know, I believe in business. Whoever can get peppers on lock, lock it up. But I said, what, they growing the peppers on their own farm? So then the woman retorted, Haitians don't have no farm here. There's Bahamian farms. I said, no, it's a miss, you know. I'm not being racial or anything, but I'm trying to understand exactly what you're talking about. Is it Bahamian farms who grow the peppers, or is it Haitian farms who grow the peppers? You say all the farms instead of Bahamas are Bahamian farms, right? I said, are there any peppers in New Providence? He said, yes, we just got some peppers from the whatever island they get peppers from. But none of the peppers are coming to the produce exchange. They're going directly to the middleman. So I said, who's the middleman? He said, well, the Haitian buyers buy out all of the peppers from the farmers directly. And I said, how can they circumvent the produce exchange? How can a private entity circumvent the produce exchange? All of the packers exchange, whatever it is. Okay. But, all right. How is it that they're able to bypass that? He said, it is what it is, and that the big buyers inside the Haitian community buys out all the peppers in bulk from the Bahamian farmers. Then they come to New Providence and they sell it retail. Big business. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that because I think I should be able to go to any kind of market house, a Bahamian packing house, to buy peppers and not have to go to a third middleman to buy peppers. And especially a organization who is circumventing the government orchestrated businesses that supposed to help Bahamians who doing processing work. I have an issue with that, especially when I don't have no peppers. I vex.
Well, Mr. Nuri, fortunately, I have a solution for you.
Go ahead.
It turns out that March is Cooperatives Month, and the co-op conference is taking place on March 11, 2024. See, what the Haitian migrants have done is they've formed a loose or informal cooperative.
In my country.
I mean, people are free to form cooperatives. It's not, I don't think it's a formal cooperative.
They don't work permit. They can't be doing that.
They can't be organizing themselves to seek the best economic or financial advantage.
Not at the deficit.
So what you're saying is that...
They need to go home?
That you were lazy.
No, I need to buy for the packing house.
You didn't take the time to understand the pepper market.
The government put that.
You didn't take the time to understand who's growing, who's harvesting, who's the first point of sale, how peppers moved from the Family Island to New Providence. You didn't want to do any of that work. You just wanted to, when you wake up, have pepper at hand at the best price possible.
Aaron, what I know is there are no Haitian farms inside the Bahamas. All of them are Bahamian farms. So, and if there are Bahamian farms, even if they have migrant workers, that pepper should be available to Bahamians.
It is, not it is available. Hold on. It is available to Bahamians. The question is, are you prepared to organize yourself in the way that the migrants have organized themselves to be able to access the pepper at the price that they've accessed? To have you built the networks necessary to distribute your wholesale purchase
I did.
Into a retail
That's
space?
Called a packing house.
No.
That's who's supposed to negotiate with the farmers. Say, hey, we need peppers for Bahamians. I need to collect all these peppers you have here and make it available for Bahamians.
Unless a farmer has a contractual relationship with the packing house, you can't in fact, even if they do have a contractual relationship with the packing house, it's unlikely that a farmer has to sell everything they grow to the packing house.
They ain't selling nothing.
Listen, if they don't have a contractual relationship with them, they're not required to sell them anything. There's nothing stopping the farmer from seeking the best price on his product. The solution, though, is for you and other Bahamians to organize themselves. You go to the farmer and you say, listen, farmer, I want a contract with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to sell me 50% of whatever you harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm prepared to put down a down payment in advance to guarantee part of that sale, right? And I'm prepared to purchase whatever you produce. And then you're going to have to establish some trade networks because, Mr. Newry,
mm-hmm.
if I find out that you, a Bahamian, bought all the peppers
mm-hmm.
to the exclusion of everybody else,
mm-hmm.
and then you trying to gouge me on the pepper price
mm-hmm.
because you say I got all and I's a Bahamian and I have the right to sell at whatever price I want, I ain't buying your peppers.
But if they're doing it now, what's the difference?
I prefer Bahamian doing it. That's my point.
I prefer nobody doing it.
But I know who's doing it now, and I have a problem with that. But let's segue.
But I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
You have a problem with them, or do you have a problem with the absence of an alternative? Because the problem seems to be there's an absence of an alternative.
I have a problem where the market is being controlled by a foreign outside source. That's my problem. I don't care who the source is. No, it should be owned and operated by Bahamians.
But the market could be controlled by Bahamians. Because Bahamians don't want to.
No, the mechanism is already in place. I think like what CA would have been mentioning in terms of having the packing houses. The farmers go to the packing houses. There's a particular price range which they are prepared to pay at that time.
Go ahead.
There we go. Yeah, Mike's.
Okay. Go ahead.
There's a particular.
Hello.
Can't hear anything.
There's a particular pricing which those persons would negotiate and the farmers would agree to, and that particular price is what they'll sell it to the packing houses for.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't proposed that, Mike, but we'll make sure.
I just want to make this point, right? So March is Cooperatives Month, and there's going to be a cooperative conference, right, on March 11th, 2024, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., the theme is developing circular economies. It's going to be at, I think, the National Training Agency. And you can call 397-7400, extension 7443, to RSVP a spot. Nothing, producer. Nothing's working. No sound coming through.
Yeah, so hopefully they can hear us, but I can't hear anything. No, I can't anything. But just continuing. Okay, what's next I want to have a conversation about?
Okay,
what's happening in Abaco? What's happening inside Abaco? Recently, the minister responsible for the demolition of the shanty town in Abaco
mm-hmm.
has given an extension to those residents living inside the shanty town who have children.
No, that's not what I heard.
What you heard?
What I heard was that there were a number of...
Number of what?
There were... Okay, be back. Sounds back up. There were a couple of families that had children that indicated to the state that they were unaware and that they did not have enough time.
That's what people in Nassau said.
No, this is the story that you're referencing.
I understand.
When the minister said that there were people with children who were being given time, he didn't say all of the people with children. He just said that there were a couple of instances mm-hmm. where people who had children identified their issues and they were given more time. I just want to make that the clarity.
Given time to do what?
To gather their
belongings?
To gather their belongings and to figure out their affairs. Where are they going?
Where they going?
But my thing is that if we have already a housing crisis in Abaco, right? There's mm-hmm. a housing crisis, not just even for the foreigners or the migrants or whatever the case may be. We have a housing crisis for Bahamians, literally. The market is already set in Abaco of what the rental agreement will be like in Abaco. I think somewhere between the one bedrooms is like $1,000 starting. And if you think about not enough places have been built there, and the persons that are enjoying that island more than most persons is the expats. So the Haitians, which were the laborers, what we call in Abaco, found residency in these rural areas or behind the bushes. And they built their hardy plank, these nice houses they built also. Mm-hmm. So if they are residents or if they have permit to work, but there is nowhere for them to live, when we break down these houses, what's going to happen?
Okay, so there's a video that emanated from, I think, Grand Bahama in the Grand Bahama shantytown demolition, where a police officer indicated that individuals were told where to put their things and, like, told where they could go. That statement, I guess, caused alarm among Bahamians who, I imagine, presumed that everybody whose structure was being knocked down was in the process of being deported, being identified as illegal immigrants and deported. They were shocked that the state would be facilitating them by identifying a place where they could go and store their things. I want to make this point that I think most people think that this particular shanty town process of demolishing shanty towns, people think that that's a migration issue, but it's not a migration issue. Producer's a bit loud.
It's an internal issue.
It's a housing issue.
No, it's an internal issue that we have been oversighting for a very long time, and now the results are what we have now.
I'm making a distinction leading to your point. The demolishing of shanty towns in Abaco is not a migration issue. It's a housing issue. Those structures were demolished because they are unlawful, right? They are not permitted to be there. That doesn't mean that those people don't have status. That doesn't mean that those people are not lawfully employed. All it means is that they did not have the proper authorizations to build or the proper authorizations to build on the property they built on. That's a housing issue. And that speaks to what you were speaking about earlier. There's work in Abaco. The migrants are there working. The problem is there's not enough housing inventory in Abaco. There's not enough housing inventory for Abaconians. There's not enough housing inventory for Bahamian laborers, right, who are internal migrants. They move in from New Providence to Abaco to work, Eleuthera or Exuma to Abaco to work. There's not enough housing for the documented migrants who are lawfully in Abaco working on projects, right? So the shantytown issue in Abaco in particular is not a migrant issue. It's a housing issue. What I'm saying is that the people viewing the process of demolition were shocked because they were under the presumption that this is a migrant issue and you've identified illegal migrants who have no authorization to be in the country and are living in the bush.
That's the perception.
But what we're really dealing with is people who have authorization to work, but their employers have not identified or facilitated access to state-authorized housing.
I'm not sure why anyone is shocked, because a report was done about 8 years ago under the other administration when they was trying to do the mud and the pigeon pee.
Yeah.
And they concluded that most of these migrants have some kind of status in the Bahamas. So we knew that. We knew that going on.
But we know that. But the frustration arises from people who are, in, whether willfully or unintentionally, misinformed on the dynamics of the matter.
So anyway, I don't see why they need more time.
But my question to that CA is this. Some of those structures that were erected or were built, if you see some of those buildings, they were really built well.
Illegal still.
No, I'm saying is that some of those persons would have gotten or had in their possession work permit from the Ministry of Works. So my question is, how is this possible?
What do you mean, how is what possible?
Building illegally? Like anything
illegal. But you have a work permit.
Well, pause.
You have a housing permit that stated that you got disapproval from the Ministry of Works to build this particular structure.
So
there were some people that had those.
So there are two categories of structures in this process. There's the unlawful and there's the illegal, right? Unlawful could mean you have permission to be on the land, but you don't have the proper authorizations to build a structure. Illegal could mean that you don't have authorization to be on the land. You trespass it, whether it's private property or crown land, you don't have authorization to be here. Those homes could be properly well built by skilled tradesmen, right?
From the Ministry of Works? With permit from the Ministry of Works and Housing?
Right, because the question is, did someone present a fraudulent document showing legal occupancy? Right? Did I get a fraudulent document? Did I just make it up? I send it in. Did somebody say, look here, I ain't gonna give you this, but if it goes any further, I can pretend like I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, it is what it is. I want to segue again. We're talking about Frank Smith. Anyone knows how much money he got? Did the news report mention the settlement?
It says settled.
Just says settled, full stop?
It says settled, yes.
You have that article?
I have it right here. Government settles with Frank Smith, 6th of March, 2024. The Davis administration has reached a settlement with former Progressive Liberal Party Senator Frank Smith, who sued the government of the Bahamas for malicious prosecution after he was acquitted of corruption-related charges. But the amount of that settlement remains unknown. Prosecutors had alleged that Smith abused his position as Public Hospitals Authority Chairman for personal gain and had accused him of demanding $60,000 from cleaning company owner Barbara Hanna under the last Christie administration. There's more details. You want the details of the story?
Go ahead.
Hanna had claimed that Smith helped her secure a $500,000 contract to clean the critical care block at Princess Margaret Hospital and demanded the payments to ensure that she kept it. However, the prosecution's case against Smith collapsed on February 1st, 2019, after Chief Magistrate Joyanne Ferguson-Pratt found Hanna's evidence unbelievable. Asked yesterday how he felt with the matter now fully settled, Smith told the Nassau Guardian, quote, a sense of relief, close quote. He added, quote, the judgments were vindicating, but what was surprising was the level of bitterness, resentment by the political leadership of the administration at the time, close quotes. The article continues. Their hands were all over this political witch hunt. And the more they got thwarted, the more adamant their push, which was against all legal logic. So it only could have been what it was, a persecution. And that is what I had a problem with. Because if you drill down into the judgments, which are public documents that you can get, and the amount of resources the government put to, quote, get Frank Smith, close quotes, despite what transpired in the courtroom, it was very disconcerting and would be disturbing for any citizen, but I lived it, close quote. So that entire statement was a quotation from Frank Smith.
I'm happy for Frank Smith. He's been vindicated. I believe that he deserved compensation if he has been victimized. He used the word witch hunt, right? I'm cool with that. My concern is the public fund. There's no secrecy with my money.
My concern is the lack of commentary from the judicial community, from the legal fraternity, from the bar association.
They're always quiet.
How could a court settlement be secret?
That's the issue.
How could a court settlement be secret? How could something that's supposed to be on the record now be deemed secret? And how could Okay, so we understand that some things must be made confidential, right? In the process of understanding the Freedom of Information Act, we learned that there are some things that the state cannot share. But a settlement, a fine, or a settlement in a legal case, a case that was before the court.
A public case.
A public case, and you're using taxpayer money satisfy it, public funds, and you continue to tell us that you're not going to tell us how much you're paying out for your mistakes. Now, just stick a pin for those who are going to say, but that was a FNM administration and not a PLP administration. You're talking politics, and we're talking governance. Governance is continuous. Governments are continuous. It's taxpayer money, and somebody from the government should explain with their legal rationale why it is they can legally withhold this information from the public. And somebody from the Bar Association should get up and explain why they don't think this conversation is worthy of interrogation, why they don't think that they should challenge the state in this matter. Because now the Bar Association appears to be...
lackadaisical?
Well, I was going to say a law firm to parliament pipeline.
There's a concern. I see WhatsApp. I got WhatsApp. I got a text. We got a text from text line saying that people are concerned that he may be a victim of crime if we know that he is settled with $1 million, $2 million. We know what Gibson was settled. Well, no, he's not a victim of crime.
Hold on.
Let me give him this point.
Yeah.
The richest man inside the Bahamas who most claim that their family is worth $1 billion plus. We know how much money he has, and he's drive around and walk up and down. See, the logic makes no sense. We have number men who we know, multi-millionaires, who's going to Kemp Road, who's going to wherever they want to go, and nothing happens to them. That logic of saying, we're keeping it secret so they'll become a victim of crime makes no sense. We know all of our parliamentarians are mega millionaires. Small-time millionaires, mega millionaires, and they go and campaign on their own at night. So that excuse saying, we don't want to get them be victimized makes no sense in our situations in the Bahamas. I read the text from the text and just frustrated. Let's just listen to it. But go ahead, Aaron.
They substantiate these things by not disclosing what we're looking for them to pass, which is the Freedom of Information Act. If that is passed, then the people will know basically how the monies are being spent.
Mm.
And you're saying you're paying the bills. Is it really being paid? Or if they're private vendors that are lending you money, what basis and what terms?
I have a text here also asking if the government has a duty of care to the legal migrants in terms of housing them.
Of course,
someplace. Yes,
they have the state has a duty of care to everybody present within the boundaries of the country. The duty of care varies based on your status in the country.
The gentleman on the migrant on the television said that social services asked him for a Bahamian passport, Bahamian status, and that because he didn't have that, he was not able to get any help from social services. Is it because
you mean the same social services where they took $30,000 from various budgets for a memorial for O.B. Wilchcombe at Bahama for
that's
the staff?
That's the same.
Yeah,
the same people.
Yeah, the same people.
But he is saying that his family didn't get any assistance. Do we owe him a duty of care if he has status to work?
Yes.
Or Bahamian
a duty of care is owed. More importantly, though, a part of that duty of care is identifying the employer of the migrant and holding that employer to account. Now, if the migrant has a different type of status, right, where there is not an employer responsible for them, right, there's still a duty of care. Because if they can't take care of themselves, then the question of the work, the need for the work permit is
in question.
Right, it's in question. But there is a duty of care. There's a duty of care to everybody in the country. It may differ from situation to situation. It may vary depending on your status.
But should I house a migrant worker as it's from social services with my tax money?
I think
you need to go home.
My thing is
find something for you.
No, the state should ask the employer why they have not ensured that their employee is living in state-approved housing.
But I know one thing is we're going to use the public funds, which we have social service, which is designed to deal with Bahamians and Bahamians first. and Bahamians are on lines and can't get $50 access to this little couple of dollars and treat it a certain way and can't get it, I have an issue with that. And if you're going to give foreigners that same leeway in terms of getting access to the funds before Bahamians, that's a big, big problem.
But no, see,
big problem.
They wouldn't be getting access to the same funds, right?
Any funds, but the Bahamians can't get it. If the Bahamians can't get it first, Aaron, my reality is, what's the use giving it out? This is Bahamians' money. This is the taxpayers' money.
There you go.
See, let's stick a pin here. Because you pitting the Bahamian worker against the Haitian worker.
Oh, Bahamian come first.
Anywhere in the world you go, people put their people first. And the Bahamas, are Bahamian.
Neither the Bahamian worker or the migrant worker is getting what they're owed. And we sit here at the same time and listen to a government tell us we made a mistake and we're going to pay for the mistake with your money, but we're not going to tell you how much of your money we use to pay for, to pay for the mistake.
We hear you.
All of that money, all of that money could be used to provide housing solutions for everyone that the government has a duty of care to.
Aaron,
you hear me, but you're not listening to what you're saying.
The man and the woman that applied for you to come into the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be employed, they are responsible for you. They are responsible for you.
But Ian, pause.
Don't put that on the other time.
Pause, Ian. I made that point, Ian. Hold on, pause. I made that point. The secondary point I made was that the state still has a duty of care. So even if you are in the process of being deported, the state has a duty of care to provide you with humane conditions to reside in until you are deported. Right? It doesn't matter the status, there is some level of duty of care. And while you're sitting here arguing about what the Bahamian should get over what the migrant should get, the government is laughing at you.
That's our government we put in. We want it that way.
No, you want it that way.
You vote for them.
I pause. I love when you say that. So you know I didn't vote for them.
You vote for them.
No. You know I didn't vote for them.
Yeah. It's a new day. That's all I'll tell you.
So don't try to make that point.
It's a new day, Aaron.
The point is I didn't vote for them, and perhaps more people will see the value of spoiling their ballot.
But whether you voted for them or not, the reality is once the bell is finished, and that ring has already been ringing, that's finished. That government or any government of the same nature would be the government of the country. That's be your government. That's your government also.
No, that's not my government.
That's your government.
So what are we transitioning to now?
Some politicians missed public disclosure deadline, official says.
Did you expect anything different?
No.
Not after the...
Have no confidence in the bishop at all.
Let me... Why is it the bishop you don't have confidence in?
Because I know what he's going to say. Some people was not going to disclose on time.
Let me read these articles, man. Right. They are hilarious. Some politicians miss public disclosure deadline, official says. This is from the 6th of March, 2024. This is today. Not last year, you know. Not last year, but this year. Some politicians have missed the March 1st deadline for financial disclosures, according to Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper. Cooper, who said he was out of town, could not give specifics on how many officials have not yet disclosed. Okay, I agree with you. We need to fire him. Let me tell you why. How could you not be in town? Like, this is your work. That's like the chairman of the Bahamas Olympic Committee saying, I wasn't in town for the Olympics, for the Olympic qualifiers. I wasn't available to go to Paris with the athletes.
Perhaps you're on vacation. Because if he's just out of town, he should have been updated on what's happening. Email and say, well, this is what's happening. Even though I'm out of town, this is my update.
So we're expecting him to enforce it? That's what I'm asking you.
No.
Quote, the truth of the matter is they're only coming in, so we, we can't give any specificity with respect to that right now, close quotes. He said when asked how many members of parliament and senators met the disclosure deadline. Asked if some politicians were filing past the deadline, he said yes. Asked if some MPs and senators have asked for extensions, he said yes, of course, but again, I can't give any specificity on that. Pause. Can you not give specificity because of the provisions in the public disclosure?
No, because of incompetence. Incompetence it is. Because its job is to give data. So far, we had 12 people who put it in. We have 2 asked for extensions, and we have 4, but we have no clue why they didn't put it on the last day. See, this is just basic information he's supposed to be able to give.
You know what this is?
The Bahamas ain't like any other place in the world.
This is your government.
This is my government.
This is your government.
But time to replace the bishop.
The Public Disclosure Act empowers the commission to extend the time for the filing of declarations for up to 30 days past the deadline. Cooper reiterated comments he made last week when he told the Nassau Guardian that the Public Disclosure Commission hopes to soon launch an online portal where information on public disclosures will be uploaded for public scrutiny. Now, pause. Here's the thing. Does he think that the lack of access to a portal is the reason why these people are not submitting the information?
It's just indication of incompetence. The very idea when he suggests that shows incompetence.
Last week, Cooper spoke about proposed plans to modernize the commission and its handling of public disclosures. Quote, we're trying to modernize what we do now, which is what, sir? So we can get our own web portal and we'll have all that information on that website.
You believe if the website comes up, we'll get all the information? It'll be updated if no one is putting it in time? Still, that we're still waiting from 2015 and we have no update yet? Why are you doing it to us? Why would he suggest such a thing to say that we simple-minded? Why would a good man do that? A Christian man. Why would a Christian man even suggest that
to me? That's your government.
No, it's a Christian man I'm talking about. I know my government. That's a Christian man.
He's a part of your government. His comment came when he was asked for an update on the gazetting of such disclosures, which is the obligation of the commission under the nearly 50-year-old Public Disclosure Act. That law, a legal anti-corruption mechanism, mandates that every senator and MP provide to the PDC a declaration of assets, income, and liabilities up to December 31st by March 1st. Now, Mr. Nure, I've got another article here from 2024. I cannot find it. It is okay. I wanted to find a quote where the chairman said that they needed an adding machine. Because he didn't mean a calculator. He would have said a calculator, yes, right? He meant an adding machine. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, producer Patrick, call through. Go ahead.
Yes, listen here. Both governments, all of them need to be locked up. All those politicians were not declaring. We've been having this now for how long?
It's been several years now we've been arguing.
And nobody never went to jail. Nobody never was hauled before the court.
Because the jail is no longer an option.
You
no,
or
jail
some
is
other
still
smaller
an
individual.
Not an option.
They would have been locked up before the courts already. And until we get this country from the top, the bottom will always be the way it is. Because there's no consequences for those who break the rules of this country and authority. We'll continue to have the crime. But I always tell this small man, don't you do it, because if you do it, you can get locked up. So you do what is right and show them what you are doing is right. Don't follow in their pathway. Until we get that right, we'll continue to have this situation. I mean, the excuse the bishop is giving, oh, I was out of the country, so there's, I mean, with the technology there, you couldn't go on portal and let's look at and see who paid, who don't pay. Come on, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you much.
That's crazy. Thank you.
What about the permanent secretaries, Aaron? Aren't they supposed to declare also? Disclose?
Did you know that you're also supposed to declare for 5 years after you left office?
Oh, Lord. This is what it is. It is what it is.
No, sir. You keep saying that. It's not it is what it is.
It's not what it is, what it is?
It's a big problem.
Aaron, our defense force, the Minister of National Security and the Defense Force Commander said that they're going to increase patrol in the southern border.
You need to.
Right? They're going to do a blockade. And I see Ian saying, we need to. And I am asking, blockade with what? How many boats do we have? How many boats do we have working? No, talk to the mic. How many boats do we have working that is not on dry dock? How many boats do we use to patrol now because we have the most efficient patrolling right there? Because it can't be deficient. We assume that we're using our maximum amount of patrolling now. I'm assuming the only way to increase it is you have to remove the ones that you have
stationed certain places,
mm-hmm. which protect those other places.
Those ones.
And leave those vulnerable south.
But we have to deal with the hotspot, the reality.
The whole Bahamas is a hotspot. We have a poor spot.
But the reality is there's about 11 to 12 million Haitians that reside in Haiti. You have a unstable government, basically, in there. You have a prison break, basically, where persons now left the prison. So they're now free. So I don't think they want to stay within the mains of Haiti in case things changes. I think they want to get out of Haiti and get anywhere else they can get to. And the closest destination for them to get to is literally here in the Bahamas. So my thing is, their crisis is our crisis also. So we have to do what we have to do right now to deal with it, which is lesser evil. Do you deal with to this particular area here that doesn't pose as much threat as turnaround? You have maybe 10 boats over there, but bringing in probably 30,000.
How long can we patrol 24/7?
As long as it takes. We have Inagua down there. We have other.
We don't have enough gas for the current boat. That's why we have some of them docked right now.
We're in the Bahamas.
We'll just borrow the gas.
We're dollar for dollar with the U.S. We can find gas. We can levy gas. We can do anything with gas.
We couldn't find the $20,000. We couldn't find the $20,000 to bury. Had the memorial service for the minister.
We can find it. So you can allocate money different places. Find it. My reality is this. Having 50 to 100,000 migrants coming in to different ports here in the Bahamas, that poses more a problem to me than where we get the gas from.
Ian, nobody is questioning that. That's not what's up for debate. That's not what Nuri is questioning. What he's asking is, how will you patrol the border?
Find it.
No. Pause.
You got the U.S. working in here also, right?
Hold on, Ian. The most effective strategy would have been to deputize your local fishermen to bring them. You have a local inventory of boats, right, and boat operators. The most effective thing is to figure out how to incorporate them in a border patrol. But you can't do that now because you raised the boat fees on commercial boats by almost 1,000%. You left the residential regular boat owners in a quandary. You've upset the entire marine, right, the boating community. It's going to be very difficult for you now to encourage them to take time away from their economic exploits to go and use their boats and resources to patrol the water.
The question is, how
are you going to patrol the water? What we learned recently was that the government said that they were spending $17 million on drones, but the drone program never went anywhere. So we don't know if they spent the whole $17 million. They don't feel the need to provide clarity on the matter, right? We could have used drones to support that, but we don't have that either.
We have a caller here, Aaron. Let's pass the caller through to engage us. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello. Good morning, Nuri and Aaron.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I called to say happy birthday to the Queen.
Can you turn the sound down behind you, sir?
The one in the back, I can't control. But the happy birthday to the Queen, Leela.
Oh, yes, sir.
Because, you know, you claim on your show earlier that, you know, you get the voice and the looks, but, you know, you only could be a runner-up to the looks.
Of course.
Queen, right?
Yes, sir.
I know your voice, a second runner-up to the Queen. On the issue with the Shantytown and the breaking down of those people in Abaco.
Yes, sir.
Well, some people who may have papers and can't find or this place or who might be straight, they need to go to their ambassador, Rodney Mungo, because he owned one key with a couple hundred acres off of Grand Turtle Key and relocate there, right?
Did you say that he owned a whole key?
Look where you go.
The key of Grand Turtle Key that Rodney Mungo have a bunch of hundred acres because he's the real official ambassador for those people.
So,
okay.
Listen, don't cause us to get sued today. That was a great joke.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you.
Remember when he declared all those mango trees?
Did he only declare two trees?
That was the first time I've ever seen something like that happen. That was amazing.
Didn't he declare only two trees?
No. He did. He did couple pineapple. He did a dilly. He did mango.
Perhaps it's on that.
Pepper,
it's on that key.
An orange. He did a couple of things, and then he also declared one Gucci pants and two Gucci shirts.
So listen,
I have no Gucci stuff.
Let's just swing back to that issue for a second.
Go ahead.
There is no, in the eyes of the government, there is not a migrant crisis. They have a labor crisis that's exacerbated a housing crisis. But the Minister of Foreign Affairs told you that we need the labor. And so to launch an effective strategy, you have to properly understand the terms on the table.
Anyway, let's take a commercial break right now. As we can continue to do an analysis on the news and what's trending on social media. I know the midterm budget is happening now. That should be news and something we'll be doing commentary on later on in the week. But we'll take a break now. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have Man Down Mashup Wednesday, where we do an analysis on the news and what's trending. Of course, Aaron Green is with me, my regular co-host on Wednesdays. And of course, Ian Mannix is finally back. Yeah, we're glad to have him here. And we'll be right back after a short message.
Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I am in need of an elevator. I do not know the going price for an elevator. A brand new elevator, I'm told, is costing $2 million. And I think that's standard. I think we need to understand that the elevator comes with insurance. The elevator comes with particular specialties or capacities. And I have no problem with $2 million unless someone have a better price for me.
How many floors in the Cecil Wallace Whitfield Center?
One? Let's say two.
It's two floors.
Two floors.
One set of stairs.
One set of stairs. And they need an elevator.
They need a $2.5 million elevator.
That's a standard cost for elevator though. Let me Google elevators.
If you told me that, look, we need like what they call it, like a cargo elevator. The purpose of the elevator is to lift heavy equipment, furniture, huge boxes, like a pallet of files, right? Like a service elevator. That's the term. Like if you told me that we are installing a service elevator in the building to facilitate the movement of heavy and large objects that are too difficult to lift and carry on foot upstairs, right? Then I say, yeah, sure, of course. Of course you need that type of thing. We don't want people injuring themselves. But if you're telling me it's a two-story building and the people don't want to walk up one flight of stairs, Nuri? Now, if you're saying to me, look, there's a disability component, right? And so that we need to ensure access upstairs for people.
I think you're nitpicking.
Man, listen, Nuri, just go in, go build one of them. Listen,
I am Googling
the
elevator price.
Go to Abaco right now and see if you could get one of those houses before they demolish it. Because you don't want to live in a country. You don't want to live in a functioning system. You want to live in the bush.
What's the average price for the elevator? That's all I want to know. That's for $2 million for an elevator.
Did they say that they were, listen, I can read the article. It's a very short article. I can read the article and see if they say anywhere in here that the elevator was needed to facilitate access by people with mobility issues. The government reallocated $2.5 million in the Ministry of Finance to, in part, $2.5 ain't the whole thing, install a new elevator at the Cecil Wallace Whitfield Center, because this ain't your government, Cecil Wallace. In the 2023-2024 supplementary budget, the government moved $2.5 million from the line item energy restoration and renewable energy to minor capital projects. The purpose of the transfer was, quote, expenditure related to the removal of the existing elevator and installation of new elevator at the Cecil Wallace Whitfield Center. The center houses the Ministry of Finance and the Office of the Prime Minister. No additional details were included on the project. The supplementary budget was tabled in Parliament 2 weeks ago. Debate on the budget begins today.
And again, I have no problem with the price of the elevator, and unless someone can prove that elevators are cheaper, I cool with the elevator
price. I don't have a problem with the cost of the elevator. I have a problem with the fact that you moved the money necessary from a line item, energy restoration and renewable energy. Because here's my problem. Here's my thing is, like you say, elevators are important. It has to have insurance. You have to have certified technicians to install it, to service it, right? They didn't know that they were going to need to replace the elevator. They didn't know that the expiration date on the elevator was coming up. They couldn't properly budget for the elevator. That's my problem. My problem is you must have known, due to your diligence and attention to maintenance, you must have known that a new elevator would soon be needed, and you must have budgeted for it. But it appears you didn't budget for it. And since you don't know how to budget, now I have to ask a whole bunch of questions.
Sometimes you don't know, Aaron. Running a country is not like running your house. Sometimes things just happen.
Ian, say that again. Sometimes you don't know because running a country is not like running a house.
I see WhatsApp, not WhatsApp. The text line is saying that to import a commercial elevator in the Bahamas would be $100,000. $100,000 is a big difference from $2
million. $2.5 million. Now, mind you, the article says to in part install a new elevator. It appeared maybe some of that money was used to remove the elevator as well.
That's another.
But it couldn't the cost to remove the elevator couldn't be more than the cost of the elevator itself.
I see we have another caller here, Aaron and Ian. Let me patch the caller through. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning to you and Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Listen, I'm throwing you all off just a little bit. So we were supposed to be producing eggs here in Nassau from the last part of last year.
You mean the Golden Yolk
project? It's called Golden Yolk. Did they ever come into on the market? Golden Yolk.
First, we need to understand what a Golden Yolk is. It's the producer exchange.
Chicken eggs.
It's a producer exchange partnering with private Bahamian egg enterprises where they will send all of their eggs to the producer exchange and then they will bring that to market. So that's what's the Golden Yolk. Like everyone will be under one umbrella and making it available, and the government will assist private enterprises in terms of machinery and support in order to have that. So that is in place.
Have you seen any Golden Yolk labeled eggs? Because you'd have to label it to say this is from the Golden Yolk project. You've seen any of those eggs in the market, Nuri?
No, I didn't see any sign. No sign for Golden Yolk.
I thought they was on the market by now. But I don't see any in the stores.
No, neither do I. Nor do I see any labeling, any signage indicating that these eggs you're purchasing are local eggs from the Golden Yolk project.
Mm-hmm. Because the price of eggs are back up again $6 a dozen.
Mm-hmm. And talk about that soon. Talk about what is causing this fluctuation in egg prices.
Yeah, so anyhow, okay, thanks a lot. I was just wondering what happened. Okay.
That's a great question, sir. Thank you.
I have a text here, Aaron, thank you very much, caller. We're talking about the housing crisis and what can we do. And they mentioned the Tesla homes. You know that home in a box that is trending now, which costs like $10,000. Is that a consideration? Because I remember one point in time when we thought about mobile homes, and it was said that behemoths need to have a permanent residence and mobile homes is, in quotes, something illegal. Okay. So I'm not sure if Tesla homes can be a functional one without having a permanent structure.
We're in a hurricane zone, right? That doesn't mean that can't work. I think it's a great idea because what you would do when a storm is approaching, you would
pack up
the home and drive it to a storage facility designed to house things during a hurricane. Simple. I mean, I think the answer is simple. That they are temporary and movable is a good thing because when hurricane time comes, now you're on high alert. We have a protocol when a storm is approaching, or we know that a storm is going to hit this island, you pack up the boxes and you drive them all to the storage facility And then those people go to family or a hurricane shelter if we ever build one.
Bolt them down? That ain't work? Like cemented in
there? I think what Aaron said, that was a great idea, though.
Instead of bolting it down?
Yeah, I wouldn't take a chance of bolting it down. But we do have confidence in the fact that you can pack that up, place that in a facility that'll facilitate that particular thing, and you can go by your family. We do it all the time, just like we go on vacation. And literally after the storm or whatever, you can still put back your house or whatever.
Hook it up to the trailer, pull it back out to the pad and set it up again.
We have another caller here. Producer Pastor caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but how you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, yeah, you know, I have a friend who does the eggs thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he has up to 24 dozen in storage. And they go like $5 a dozen, free range.
Now, the problem is that this project, I don't know if the farmers understand, but the whole intent of the project is to match the commercial price of eggs, the retail price of eggs in the food store.
Which is $2.40 now.
Now, he has been sitting on the edge of a city, waiting for the information, and so far he says nothing is forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you made an earlier comment about how people run the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they run their house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, this is a kind of analogy in terms of how some administrations run government.
Mm-hmm.
They run it like a petty shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they react mostly instead of responsive. Okay? I think, you know, we need to get past the idea of it's not enough for leaders to talk about something. We need to keep their foot pressed up against the glass or their face pressed up against the glass and keep on reminding them of what they said they were supposed to do. But up to now, especially with this administration, it seems like it's enough to talk about something and just kick that can down the road.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you, caller. Thank you very much.
Hold it.
Yes, sir. Quickly.
Is that his birthday?
No, it's my mother's birthday. Lilo Green.
Oh, okay. No, that was your birthday, man.
You're getting ready to celebrate.
You can't tell Lilo Green happy birthday, cousin.
I know Lilo personally. Molly is my birthday.
There you go.
Happy birthday, Lilo.
Yes, okay.
Anyway, it is the end of the show. Thank you very much, caller. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nery.
Aaron, I need an adding machine.
You need an adding machine?
For my online portal.
Yes, for your online portal. Ian, thanks very much for joining us again.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you very much, producer, for today.
We thank whoever brought this confidential settlement clause concept into the public domain?
Happy birthday, Lilo Green. Anyway.
Happy birthday.
Have a beautiful day, everybody.